Have your Bible this morning, pick it up, and one more time find with me 2 Chronicles, this time chapter 34, 2 Chronicles and chapter 34, and hold your place there for just a moment. In the series we have been in this summer, as we've looked at the kings of Judah, if there is one recurring theme throughout, it's the legacy that we leave. What will people remember us by? Each of the kings' stories opens with a short summary of who they were. And then out of that, we learn the actions they took and the reputation they have. And we're told over and over the account of their actions were recorded. That's a good question. What would be the record of your actions and the record of your character in life? Would it be that you were found faithful for doing everything God wanted you to do? Would it be that you did your best anyway to be faithful to God? Is that how people will remember you? What kind of reputation and legacy are we going to leave behind? One of the greatest female athletes in the world right now is Katie Ledecky, one of the U.S. swimmers that is in Rio for the Olympics. 19 years old. She is 12-0 in individual finals and major international meets. She holds 11 world records. A researcher at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester who studies athletes said, let's put this in perspective. Going into the 2016 Olympics, 12-0 with 11 world records, he said the key here is she finishes or wins by a 1 to 2% margin each time she races. A 1 to 2% margin. Now, he said that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but he said, let's put it in perspective. If you were a runner in the 10,000 meters and you won by a 1 to 2% margin, you would win by 100 meters or more. He said, if you were racing the Tour de France and you won an 80-hour cycling race by 1 to 2%, you would win by 40 minutes ahead of the next challenger. And he goes on to say, that's just remarkable for an athlete to consistently win at that level. Everyone asked right after that, you know, well, what's her secret? What makes her that way? Well, the coaches say it's all in the heart and it's in the head. He said, Bruce Gimmel said, great athletes like Katie and Michael Phelps are not necessarily stronger than all the others. They're differentiated by what's between the ears and what's in their hearts, how they think, and their unwillingness to lose, and their embracing of the challenge. Well, Ledecky put it a different way. She herself said, well, to be honest, she said, when I come off the block, I give it my all. You know, a lot of racers in every race hold back a bit. They hold back a bit, whether they're swimming or they're running, hold back a bit so they've got that last big kick at the end. And swimmers do the same thing, not Ledecky. When Ledecky comes off the block, she is giving it all she has, all the energy, all the strength, from the moment she hits the water all the way to the finish. She's giving it everything she's got, and here's why. Very simple. She says, well, frankly, I'm always afraid I'll get to the end and have too much left. I'm always afraid I'll get to the end and have too much left. What a great way to look at life. Have you ever considered that you're going to get to the end of your life and there's a lot that God wanted you to do that you didn't get done? What if God has great things in store for you and great things in store for me, and we're spending so much time in the mundane that we never get to participate in the extraordinary? What if we said to God, I want to participate in the extraordinary. I want to be found faithful. I want to get to the end of it all and look back on my life and say, I did everything God wanted me to do in this life. Or at least I did my best to do just that. The last king we are going to look at together in this series is Josiah, whose record upholds him as one of the greatest kings of Judah or Israel, one of the greatest kings of the people of God that there ever was, this young man, Josiah. And he was great not because in and of himself he was great, He was great because his desire was to be faithful to God no matter what. And a turning point came in his life, a defining moment came in his life, when he realized that if he was going to be faithful to God, he needed to know what God wanted. It was okay to do good things. It was okay to do right things. It was okay to keep doing sometimes even mundane things if they're good things. But suddenly he realized those are not always the things God wants. And if I want to be great for God, if I want to live an extraordinary life for God, if I want to leave a legacy of being found faithful, it means at the end of it all, I've got to know that I did what God wanted me to do. It's that turning point in his life that interests us this morning. Because like Josiah, if you and I are going to do what God wants, we've got to know what God wants. And if we're going to know what God wants, we've got to know God's word. It's just that simple. If we want to know what God wants, we need to know God's word. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 is a summarized story of 31 years of Josiah's life. Look at the first two verses with me. As it summarizes his legacy, as with so many of the other kings, the Bible says in chapter 34 and verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, and he walked in the ways of his ancestor David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Notice that last phrase. You know what that tells us? If Josiah was anything, he was consistent in his desire to be faithful to God. He was consistent. For 31 years, he stayed on an even track. That's his legacy. That's the summary of his life. His commitment was that solid. And yet we find in the midst of his story a turning point that solidified that commitment and changed everything for him and for the people of God that he was leading. The Bible teaches that Josiah inherited the kingdom that his father Manasseh, you'll remember Manasseh, a bad king who toward the end of his reign repented, God brought him home, and he had that opportunity to experience God's grace, but very little time to do anything about it. With what time he had, Manasseh tried to start reforms, but simply didn't have much time to make a lot of difference. So he passed that along to his son Josiah. Josiah began to institute these reforms again, tear down the idols and tear down the pagan temples and ritual places all throughout the land. He began to do all that and began to clean up the temple as his forefathers had done before to try to get the people on track with God. But when Josiah inherited the land and Josiah inherited the temple, he found a temple that was in disrepair. It's one thing, isn't it, to keep your house clean. It's another thing to really take care of the infrastructure. And now sometimes it's one thing to clean up every week and dust everything. It's another thing. Now and then you got to fix the plumbing and the doors creak. Sometimes you get holes in the carpet. Now and then you've got to actually repair things. And when Josiah walked into the temple, he said, "We need to do some work. We've got to do some work on the temple." So he took up an offering. He got all his leaders together. He told them, "This is what we're going to do. We're going to repair the temple. There's no reason the temple of God should look like this. So we're going to repair it now that we've cleaned it out." So he started taking up offerings from God's people. They would bring the offering to the temple, and Josiah's leadership would take those offerings, and they would use them to get the resources they needed to repair the temple of God. So repairs are underway, and while repairs are underway, they discover something extraordinary that had been lost from memory and somehow ended up hidden away in the temple of God. Look at verse 14, chapter 34 and verse 14. The leaders go into the temple to get the money, and they're cleaning up the temple. And here's what the Bible says. When they brought out the money that had been deposited in the Lord's temple, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord written by the hand of God. Of Moses. As they are repairing the temple, they discover hidden away the scroll. That's what the word translated book means. It's the scroll. And it's a scroll specifically of the law of Moses written in the hand of Moses. Most scholars believe, and rightly so, this is the book of Deuteronomy that they have found, what we call the book of Deuteronomy. They have found the scroll in the temple. This changes everything. They have discovered the Word of God. And up to this point, interestingly, there's no reference to God's Word. Josiah is simply following what he has been taught as God's Word. He's following what he has known for generations was God's Word and God's law. But now they find the Word of God. And they read the Word of God. And it changes Josiah's trajectory and such it changes that of the nation. See, it matters that they found the Word of God, but what matters more is how they respond to the Word of God. What changes everything is how they respond, because here again, they discover what God truly wants. They're doing good things for God, but now they know what God really wants, because they have His Word. And if we want to know what God wants, we've got to learn God's Word. Let me give you an example of the difference. Let's say you say to your child, go clean your room. And in your child's room is a basket of clean clothes. And when you say, go clean your room, you also say, make sure you put away those clean clothes. Is this striking home with anyone? Just. And your child says, okay. And he goes into his room and he starts to clean up his room. A little while later, calls you in and says, I've got it done. Can I go out and hang out with my friends? You come on in, you inspect the room, and it looks good. And you say, where'd you put away the clean clothes? Well, they're in the closet. You open the closet, and the basket of clean clothes is stuffed into the closet, and the door's closed. See, your child, as far as they know, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. As far as they know, they have been faithful to what you ask. They have been faithful to a point, at least in their perception. They've been doing a good thing. They cleaned up their room and they put away the clean clothes. And you say, that's not putting away the clean clothes. Putting away the clean clothes is folding them and putting them where they go. Now the child has clarity. Now the child knows what you mean when you say, do that good thing. Now, folks, that's the difference between assuming we know what good thing God wants us to do and reading God's Word. That's the difference. It's the difference between assuming we are good because we're religious and things are right because we're doing good things, and getting into God's Word and realizing to be faithful to what God wants us to do, we've got to know what God says. That's what God wants. It's in His Word. We may have been told for generations, well, God wants you to go to church. Do you know why God wants you to go to church? We may be told for generations, God wants you to feed the hungry. Have you asked God why He wants you to feed the hungry? Have you asked God where He wants you to feed the hungry? Have you gotten into God's Word? We have heard for generations, God wants us to share the gospel. That's good. That's true. Have you asked God how to do that? Have you studied God's Word about the gospel and why it's important? Have you let God fill your heart with His Word and His love for lost people to impassion you to share the gospel? There's a difference between doing good things and being faithful to what God says. That's the difference Josiah discovered. What would happen? What would happen if you dusted off God's Word? You pulled it out, you dusted it off, and you started to say, God, speak to me about what you want. What would happen? Just as Josiah learns, first of all, God's Word moves us from good to great. Moves us from good to great. Look at verse 4. The Bible explains what good things Josiah was doing. The Bible says, in his presence, the altars of the Baals were torn down, and he chopped down the incense altars that were above them. He shattered the Asherah poles, the carved images, the cast images, crushed them to dust, and scattered them over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. That summarizes the work Josiah has been doing before he found God's Word in the temple. And there's no question that Josiah is leading the nation in good things and in things that please God. There's no question about that. That's what God wants to happen. But now look at verse 19. Chapter 34, verse 19. They have discovered the Word of God. And then the Bible says, when the king heard the words of the law, that is, when the word of God was read to him, he tore his clothes. And verse 20 says, he commanded some of his leadership. And verse 21 says what he had commanded them. Look at verse 21. He tells his leaders, go and ask the Lord for me, for those remaining in Israel and Judah, concerning the words of the book that was found. For great is the Lord's wrath that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord in order to do everything written in this book. Josiah suddenly realized that while he was doing good things, he was missing the great things that God wanted. And he was not doing everything that God wanted, only those things that he believed he should be doing. But God wanted him doing much more. God wanted the people of God to go deeper in relationship, to build fellowship with him. And just going through the motions and the actions of good things is not always what God wants. God wants us to grow in our faith. God wants us to be faithful to him, not to our religion. Now, this is a theme that's threaded throughout Scripture. You may remember in the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel the prophet comes to the first king Saul, the first king of Israel, after Saul has disobeyed God's word and done what he thought was a good thing for God. After a battle, Saul does not sacrifice and clean up the way that God told him to do it. Samuel shows up. He finds this out. Samuel teaches him a lesson. At the end of it all, Samuel says this to King Saul, simply that it is better to obey than it is to sacrifice. Better to obey than to sacrifice. You know what that means? God would rather have you be faithfully obedient to his word than for you to be religious. God would rather you be faithful and obedient to what he says, what he actually says, than to you be religious and do what you think he wants you to do. When we learn God's word again, when we dust it off, we get into it again, what happens is God speaks to our hearts. He may say, hey, you're religious, you're doing good things. But then he says, let me show you some great things that I want to do through you. I want you to be faithful to me. I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to be a part of the great things of God. And right now, he might say, you're just being religious. You're just doing some good things. But God wants you to be part of great things for him. And that's what happens when we finally get into his word. We learn the difference because we learn what he truly wants. Second thing that's going to happen, God's word requires us to personally respond. Look at verse 19 again. The Bible says, when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. And then in verse 21, he says, for great is the Lord's wrath that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord in order to do everything written in this book. Josiah personally responds to the word of God. He knows he can't make any excuses. He says, our forefathers did not do everything God wanted them to do, but that's not on them anymore. That's on me. That's on us. It's our job now. And Josiah is saying there are sins left over in the land that we have to look at, and some of these can be personal sins. Notice that's the problem with outward religion. Outward religion and doing just good things, keeping us from the great things, is outward religion often keeps us from looking at ourselves. But the Bible is God speaking to us about ourselves. And when we get back into God's word, God speaks to us about where we are, what it means for us to be faithful, what God wants to clean out of our lives. God speaks to our hearts about what he wants. And we have a personal responsibility to respond to God's word. We have no excuses. Once you know what God wants, you must respond to what God says. Maybe that's the reason that so many of us have not dusted off the Bible in a long time. Maybe that's the reason so many of us keep the Bible on the shelf, or now and then we might pay lip service to the Bible. We might get it out and read it. We might have a devotional, but serious study, we're not going to do that. You know why? Because we know that God will show us things that we need to change. And we know we will be personally responsible for what God says to us. So the challenge becomes, if I get into God's word, I've got to have an open heart. I've got to know that God wants to change some things in my life, and he's going to reveal those things to me. If at the end of it all I want to be able to say I was faithful to God, then I've got to let him do that. And I have to be honest, and I am personally responsible for what God says to me about my life. No excuses. It's not my parents' fault. It's not my siblings' fault. It's not the church's fault. When I get into God's Word, He shows me it's about me. And there are things I've got to change. The wonderful truth of the gospel is God comes to us in grace and love. His desire is not just to make us feel guilty. His desire is to bring us to repentance and change so we can be more like Christ. God's Word requires us to be personally responsible. That's what's going to happen. God's going to show you how to move from good to great, and then God's going to show you if there's anything in your life that needs to be weeded out and cleaned out and you need to repent of. God will show you that. There's one more thing that's going to happen. If you dust off God's Word and get back into it, God's Word leads us to a fresh commitment. To a fresh commitment. Because of the first two, God's Word leads us to a fresh personal commitment, a desire to do what He wants us to do, and taking that personally. As Josiah seeks clarity on the meaning of God's Word, how it will impact him and the people, he sends his leaders to find a prophetess, a woman that God is speaking through. So she comes back and she unpacks the Word of God for him. She explains to him how that applies to him and applies to the nation. She explains to him that the consequences of years of idolatry are still going to unfold in the nation. That God will still bring judgment. Because God had told the people and the kings over and over and over to clean up, to repent. But then she says that God will bring grace to Josiah and his reign because he has been faithful. And he desires to be faithful to God and for his people. Verse 29 tells us what happens next. Verse 29, the Bible says, "So the king sent messengers and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the Lord's temple with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as well as the priests and the Levites, all the people from great to small. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. Then the king stood at his post and made a covenant in the Lord's presence to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, in order to carry out the words of the covenant written in this book." Josiah realizes this is a turning point for him and for the nation. And the only way to launch at that turning point, the only way to truly invest and truly make change is a fresh commitment. As the Bible puts it, a fresh statement of the covenant with God. He reads what covenant God wants. He reads the fellowship God wants. He reads what God wants of God's people and in turn what God will do for God's people. So Josiah says, "I want to start over now and I want God's people to start over too." So Josiah makes his commitment public. Don't you love that? He gets up, he has the leaders read the word of God to the people, and he says, "This calls for me to make a fresh covenant and for us as God's people." But he says, "It starts with me. I've got to make a fresh commitment. I've got to make a fresh start with God so together we can be faithful to God." In verse 31, he makes it clear it starts with him. Just as any covenant and any commitment starts with you and me, when we realize in God's Word what God wants from us, it's time to step up and make that fresh commitment. It's time to start over. And the beauty of God's grace is that He calls us to start over. He tells us to start over. He says, "I want you to be faithful." God wants you to get to the end of it all and look back on your life and say, "As best I know how, I was faithful. And I want to leave a reputation and a legacy of being faithful to God no matter what." God's Word calls for a fresh commitment. As soon as we know what God wants to change in our lives, as soon as we have insight into what He wants, God's Word calls for a fresh commitment, an opportunity to start over. Dan McConchie is the Vice President of Government Affairs for Americans United for Life. And in 2007, Mr. McConchie was riding his motorcycle through a suburban intersection. A car came into his lane and pushed him into oncoming traffic. 2 weeks later, he woke up. He had 6 broken ribs, a punctured lung, broken clavicle, broken shoulder, broken ribs. But most of all, he had a spinal cord injury that left him a paraplegic. The neurosurgeon told his wife that he would never walk again. If he did, it would be a miracle. 9 years later, he is still in a wheelchair. This past March, he was interviewed for a magazine, and he was asked, what has he learned through all of this? And this is what he said. What I've learned is that life isn't for our comfort. Instead, the purpose of this life is that we become conformed to the image of Christ. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen when everything is unicorns and rainbows. Instead, it happens when life is tough, when we're forced to rely on God through prayer just to make it through the day. That's when He is most at work in our lives, molding us into who He designed us to be. Then He says this. He says, you know, my prayers are different today than they were 9 years ago. Back then, I looked at God like Santa Claus, asking Him to send nice things my way. Now, I have one prayer that I pray more often than any other prayer. Lord, may I be able to say at the end of the day that I was faithful. Lord, may I be able to say at the end of the day that I was faithful. Would you say to God today, God, more than anything else, more than I need help with my job, more than I need help with my family, more than I need help with this sickness, more than anything else, God, may I be able to say at the end of the day that I've been faithful. Maybe today is the day you need to make a fresh commitment. God's been speaking to your heart. It starts with a commitment to God's word again. Would you commit to the Lord today? God, you know what? I'm the one that's left the Bible on the shelf. I'm the one that's dependent on Pastor Bob, family members, Sunday school teachers, other pastors to teach me God's word. But God, I need to know your word. Would you make a fresh commitment today to dust it off, to open it up and say, God, speak to me. And would you make a fresh commitment to say, God, whatever you say to me, Father, I will accept that. If you want to make changes in my life, if I need to repent of a sin, if I need to change a relationship, God, show me that in your word. That's what I want to do. Because when it's all said and done, the main thing, the thing that matters most is I know I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful to you. Does God want to speak to your heart about that today? Is God telling you, yeah, it's me. I need to make that fresh commitment today. Maybe there's another commitment you need to make today, a commitment to start over with the Lord. God's already spoken to you through His Word, and you know today is the day to start over. Say, God, I just need to make that fresh change in my life. I'm on the wrong trajectory, and I need to go a different direction. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, through your word, you always speak to us, God. So you've spoken to our hearts today. And maybe there's 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 or more in this room, Father, who know you're talking to us, God. You're speaking to our hearts. You're telling us today is the day for a fresh commitment. First, to your word, God. And then from there, Father, we commit to our fellowship with you, our covenant with you, God, to our relationship with you again. Father, I pray for all of us, God, that our desire would be to be faithful to you no matter what. Father, there are burdens and concerns in our lives. There are cares and there are trials and there are difficulties. God, we need to hear your voice on those things. God, answer our prayers on all of that, God. But this morning, may our fresh commitment be to be faithful to you and to your word. Father, I pray in this time of response, if there's just one God who needs Christ, that they be saved today. I pray, Father, believers would make those fresh commitments you're calling us to make. I pray for those who need to join fellowship with this church, for those who need to step out and be in ministry and missions. I pray for us, God, today would be that day we take that step of faith and make those fresh commitments today. So move in this place, God. Let your Holy Spirit be at work as we respond to you today. In Jesus' name.